I'd love to look at tonight is the kingdom life is a spacious life. The kingdom life is this mystery that we keep pushing in, and we're the guys pushing in to the golden circle of life with Christ. And the last aspect is the kingdom life is a powerful life. It's a powerful life. At the center of the kingdom of God, at the center of us saying, thy kingdom come, it's an authority issue. It's saying, God, I'm not in control. You are. You are the highest authority in my life. The basic demand of the kingdom of God is a response of our will. You see, it's not our will that got us righteousness. He said, I'm going to give you righteousness, therefore you'll see my kingdom come. It's not our life, it's his life. He gives us. He says, I give you life, and because I give you life, you'll see the kingdom come. He's done it. And what he asks us is to repent, to turn, and decide to follow him. And let him become king and lord of all. And we struggle because we struggle with the concept of kingdom. I haven't been under a king. I've been under presidents, I've been mayors and all, but I've never been under a king myself. And most of the world don't know what it is to have a kingdom. When Jesus spoke into the kingdom, it was a very real, very relevant reality to their culture at the time. There were kingdoms in place. They'd been under the authority of the Romans. And there were all sorts of kings in place fighting each other. And kingdoms were attacking kingdoms. And they would fight and they would take land and their kingdom would be established. It wasn't a foreign concept. And Jesus comes in not as someone looking to start a church. Jesus didn't come to earth and said, I'm going to start a church. Jesus came and said, I'm going to start a movement. I'm calling men out of darkness. I'm calling women out of darkness into light that they might worship God. And I'm going to call them the bride of Christ, who happened to be called the church. And they don't just stand back and they're not just standing around doing nothing. They are full of power, full of might. So he says, wait here. He says in Acts 1 verse 8, he says, wait here for the gift of the Holy Spirit, for power from on high to come. It is a powerful life. If we're just wanting the spaciousness, we won't walk into it if we struggle with the concept of power. And there's a challenge in the church today around the issue of power. There is fear around the fact that our God is powerful. That when he breaks in with a power encounter. What was the first miracle Jesus did? Was it water to wine? Well, let me specify that. What was the first miracle he did in the book of Mark? It was, he walks up, the demoniac, he speaks, a power encounter takes place, and the demon flees. We struggle with demons. We say the word, can you say the word demon in church? This is church. The Bible says it. It's a Bible word. It's a real reality. There is a power dynamic in our lives. How many of you know that before you gave your life to Jesus, I mean, I have so many relationships, people who come to the church, you know, we've been living together for years, all of a sudden they get saved, now there's this dynamic in the relationship that's difficult. My life was dandy until I met Jesus. Well, all of a sudden, you're entering a war zone. Because you've submitted yourself to the King of Kings, and the one who didn't care that you were far from God, all of a sudden has an interest in your life, all of a sudden is wanting to take you out of that place and take you back to a place of bondage. And there is a battle at place, and we are in a kingdom power dynamic every time. And every time Jesus says, the kingdom of God has come, the kingdom of God has come near, the kingdom of God is breaking in, a power encounter happens and a healing happens. How does a lame man who hasn't walked before all of a sudden walk? Something has to break in. It's the power of God. And he encounters the man with demons, a legion of demons, 1,000 demons. One word and he's free. There is a power encounter. And the church is scared of the powerful life. Scared. Because there's been abuse. Because there's been bad teaching. Because there's been abuse of power. And so we accept it, we package it neatly that it's a nice book on the shelf, but it's not something we're going to live. You know what the problem is without a power encounter? Jesus didn't come to start a moralistic kingdom. Or go to church, your life will get in order. Let Jesus come to your life. He's going to make you good. Jesus said he didn't come to make people good. He's not this do-gooder God who came to make people good. He came to make the sick well. He came to make the lame walk. He came to make everything that Ben prayed about. He came to do that. And what happens is we fall in love with him because he brings freedom. What happens is we fall in love with him because he is beautiful, because he is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I want to live to please him. So I begin to walk in who he is. I walk in as the image of God in this world, and I walk more and more holy. I find it easier to walk in his ways. I live to please him. I live in understanding that grace is pouring over my life. And because of grace, I can walk a line of freedom from the things that held me in the past. There is a power encounter that took place at your salvation. You might not have seen it. You might not have encountered, but I'm telling you, it took place. There was a battle that was fought 2,000 years ago as Jesus died on the cross. And the power of the enemy over your life is broken. I'm quite excited. This thing is moving lots. Power. And God says, seek first my kingdom. There's a problem in that I think many people are trying to seek his kingdom. But what kingdom? Is it a moralistic kingdom? I'm seeking your kingdom first, God. I've stopped smoking. Really? Is that a cool byproduct of the grace of God in our life? Yes. Should we be aiming to walk free of things that hold us? Yes. But I don't read the Bible and Jesus said, I want you to stop smoking. Just being honest. I see Jesus say, I want you free. I want you whole. I want you in love with me. I am jealous for your love. I am jealous. And because of that, we respond to him. There is this crazy power encounter that happens. And so what happens, we think we're getting into this moralistic kingdom. So we try to do all the right things. And you get these crazy people who do all the things of the Old Testament because they think they're pleasing God. And Jesus said, I died so you didn't have to do that stuff for my righteousness to be upon you, to be given to you, to be imparted to you. It's not a moralistic kingdom. And the promise is the fact that although the kingdom is still coming, the kingdom has come because Jesus came to the earth and the kingdom of God is breaking in ongoingly. And there's this overlapping of the ages. Hebrews 6 verse 4 and 5 talks about it like this. Those who have once been enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and have been made partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come. He's talking about the church. When you've tasted of the powers of the age to come. See, we love tasting of the goodness of God, but God says actually there is a taste for the powers of the kingdom to come. And we get an appetite for it. Just an appetite. It begins to grow. And you taste again. You lay hands on the sick, they get healed. You sit with someone with bondage is upon them and they get set free. And no one has an explanation and it's a mystery. And people who were diagnosed barren because doctors spoke, because God breaks in, all of a sudden they're children. It's a mystery. The life of God is breaking in and you taste. I'm ruined. I'm messed for boring Christianity. I liked boring Christianity. I spent 2 years joining every Saturday night till about 4 a.m. Sleep all Sunday and going to church at night. Not 2 years. Let's call it 18 months. And I loved Jesus. Honestly, I did. But God had a break in and said, there's so much more for you, boy. There's so much more. And you taste of the goodness of God. And God breaks through into your situation. Story after story. Provision of God. People who weren't part of the church, who didn't know my situation, phoning me up paying for my studies when I couldn't afford any study. And the bank had phoned and said, we can't pay for any more studies. That's the grace of God. That's the kingdom of God breaking in. I'm standing with deaf people, praying for them. And I'm more surprised than they are when they can all of a sudden hear. And I'm like, are you sure you were deaf? I mean, are you sure? Now come back with the papers next week. I made them come back with the papers. I read the stuff. But my kingdom understanding didn't really let me think, this is a powerful life. This is the reality of Jesus breaking in, that there is access to power. We've got to demystify power in the church. We just got to demystify it. We've got to stop using the words that are unhelpful for people to understand who we are. And we put all these big words to what God is doing. No, Jesus is breaking in. That's all that's happening. We demystify it. We break it down. You know why we get scared of it? Because we can't control it. Because it's His power. And He chooses when to use it and He pours out. It's His power. I cannot control the power of God. And He says, son, keep praying. Keep asking. Keep pushing in. Because I sent my son so that you could push in. Do you have an appetite? What is your appetite for? If it's just for Sunday club, country club Christianity, well, that's fine. That's all you're going to get. But when you read the Word and you read Acts and you read the stories of the early church, you cannot but help feel God sent a spirit into the church. He didn't send a church to send a spirit into. He sent a spirit into His people and a church formed because that's what happened when God breaks in. And things change. Situations change. Atmosphere. I want to see this environment changed. I want to see that. I believe God can drop the divorce statistics in this suburb because God is here in His sons and daughters. I believe unemployment can go down because God is here. I believe order can reign. I believe the broken and the lost come into wholeness because our God is a powerful God and He's called us to live powerful lives. Not these sterile Christian lives. Yes, I love Jesus on a Sunday. It's not enough. He is jealous for us. And this world needs a powerful thing. The challenge is we read the scripture. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And we think it's all about, we come to that scripture, we've got a big decision to make. I go to Romans 12. And God, you say, I can test and approve, and we're going to. He says, every day. Does it make sense that deaf people should hear? It doesn't make sense. But God. Does it make sense that businesses that were in the bones of their backside last month can turn around? But God. Does it make sense that families who earn on the breadline can live spaciously? Spaciously. But God. It's the promise of the gospel. And we've got to just demystify it, guys. Sometimes our language is so unhelpful for those around us. You see someone who needs prayer and you go in and use the biggest theological words. Not you, me, us, the church. We use the biggest theological words we can use. And people get spooked. Yeah. Jesus didn't spook people. He just healed them. He didn't try to impress them. Our impressing them won't get them healed. Our information that we have banked up doesn't get them healed. Yeah. Our revelation, our understanding, and our openness to who God is gets them healed. And He does the healing. Every time Jesus touches, there's a power encounter. All we're doing is we're saying we want to take higher ground. We want more. I want more. I'm not on a healing trip. I'm on a kingdom of God trip. You know what that looks like? It looks like my friend who was in a major corporation and they had to lay off a bunch of people. Because we can get stuck on the kingdom of God's just healing. It's so much more. He phones me and says, Mark, I'm broken. He's the HR manager of a massive site that got to lay off a bunch of people. And there were these 15 people on a Friday. He hands them, this is your retrenchment slip. Lives impacted. Kids schooling. He phones me, Mark, I'm broken. What do I do? I said, well, pray, but I don't know. But God knows. Saturday night, he's leading worship on Sunday morning at Glenridge. Saturday night, he has a dream of how he can save these jobs. He comes to me on Sunday and says, Mark, I don't know what to do with this. I had a dream. Well, I said to him, package that dream for your HR director. Don't tell him you had a dream in those languages. Tell him you had an idea. God, you know, I'm not saying push it away. I'm just saying it's got to be palatable for them. The language we use, the way we present, say, go to him and say, you've got faith, we can save these jobs. He went and phoned his HR director on a Sunday afternoon, because on Monday, those people had to be gone. On a Monday morning, he met the HR director. Every one of those jobs was saved. Because God gave a man a dream. That is the kingdom of God breaking in. It's not just the healing. It's when we change atmospheres and we change environments because we understand there is the electricity of heaven inside of us and it's called the Holy Spirit. I'm sealed by Him. Changes everything. So we walk into homes where depression reigns. And just because we enter, just because we know God and because we sing He is beautiful, the atmosphere changes and depression leaves because depression is a liar. And God says, son and daughter, arise. Addiction's broken because of the presence of God. This is the life we live. This is the higher ground. And I'd love to show you a slide. It's not the greatest design in the world, and it's a little bit complicated from the outset, but it's this powerful life. That is an amazing slide. Jeez, the tone of the blue is just, yes, that's much better. That one, thank you. And there is this thing at the cross. He says the kingdom of God came, but not in fullness. And we live somewhere in between the cross and that X is Jesus coming again. We're somewhere in between, and there are these powers of the coming age breaking in. Because heaven came to earth, because Jesus came to earth, heaven is breaking in. We sing, heaven break in. Do we know what that means? All it means is Jesus. Move your hand. Can we have the next little number, please? One more. And he says, actually, who are we? We are this new creation. He says, if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. There is a power encounter that has happened in our lives at salvation. The old is gone. It's been ripped out, and the new has come. Power. You want to soften down, you dull down, just respond to Jesus in your own time. Do your little decision. Nothing really has to change. Everything changes. We lie to people. Everything changes. The king of your life changes. That means everything changes. When coups break over countries and they come in and they take over governments, everything changes. It's an incredible thing. Can we have the next slide, please? And what has happened is when Jesus returns at X, oh, what a glorious day. And all things will be made new. There will be no sickness. There will be no disorder. Christ, the King, rides in. And on his leg is a tattoo, I think, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Because he's the King. Can we have the next slide, please? Just one more click. Eight clicks. Give me eight clicks. Good. Four good ones. Six good ones. Now we're talking. That's it. Thank you. And it's this incredible dynamic. But we somehow package. See, when the kingdom of God breaks in, amazing things happen. The first one is the bottom left. There is this power encounter. Signs and wonders happen. But you know what happens? It's not enough. God, Jesus heals the 10 lepers. Only one comes back. Only one is grateful. Signs and wonders aren't enough. There's got to be a change. There's got to be greater change. There's personal transformation. It's Jesus. You're amazing. And we are transformed to be more like him. Our deformities are stripped off us. Yeah. Our abnormalities that the enemy had put on are stripped away. And he says, I'm transforming you to become more like me. And then what happens, as men and women begin to rise up, transform to more and more like Jesus, social transformation begins to happen. Do you have faith that that could happen? Look at the revivals. Read about the revivals. Reformation is real. And what does God have to do? He's got to revive his church, get a fire burning, get the Spirit of God inside of his church raging, and transformation begins to happen. Reformation around us begins to happen. People start asking you questions. Why is this different? And the last one is world missions. It's the big story of God calling sons and daughters out of darkness into light. And the church is part of this big mission. And we join hands with those who are on different sides. And they got different names like Anglicans and Methodists. And we say, thank you, Jesus, for brothers and sisters. And together we move forward and we see the power of God breaking in. All of that is the kingdom of God breaking in. But there's a challenge here. Can we have the next two, please? And we're on this journey of the church fulfilling the mission. The problem is, as you can read, is we have selective obedience. We say, God, I'm up for the spacious life. I'm up for a little bit of mystery with my Jesus. I'm not really up for power. I don't really want to lay hands on the sick. I don't really want to trust you. I'm cool when my kid gets sick, I'm going to go to doctors. I'm cooler when my business is in the bush, I'll go speak to a bank manager. It's the same thing. He says, will you trust me? Will you run to me? And will you allow me to be king of your life? And we not being conformed to the patterns of this world is actually not running to the doctor. It's laying your hands on your child, not phoning your pastor or your home group leader. You laying your hands under the authority of God and saying, God, let your kingdom come. Let healing reign. Let heaven break in. When your boss's business is in the bush, you go in as an ambassador of heaven with the Spirit of God inside of you and say, actually, can I pray for you? Can we trust for the kingdom of God to come? I was here last year. The first time I came here, I preached a message called Eros. And it was about this accessing the value that is above us as God lifts us up. Do you remember? Some of you might remember, some of you won't. I preached it at Glenridge. A man came to me and said, will you pray with me? His business was in the bush. He was going down by 20 grand a month. But he worked out of a building that had space on the roof and the entrance to Durban. And as I preached to him, he said, surely God can do something with the top of the building. So he went to the landlord who he rented from. And he said, hey, but I'm sure we could access the value above this building. We could do advertising above this building. And the guy said to him, listen, if you pull it off, I'll give you half of whatever we make. And he went knocking on doors, and we went and we prayed on that rooftop. The last time I drove into Durban, I was there 3 weeks ago. As I drove in from the airport, I looked up and I saw the biggest billboard on top of that building. And I realized our God is amazing. He gets 25,000 rand every month for doing nothing. For just allowing God to speak, acting on it in faith, and saying, God, you're amazing. 25,000 rand. God's clever. God's just cool. And we see the power encounter through the ages. We see the Exodus. God uses power to set his people free. He doesn't ask Pharaoh. He turns rivers into rivers of blood. He sends all sorts of bugs and insects. Not cool. You have to be pretty powerful to pull that off. He sends David's mighty men in to deliver 3,000 killed with the jawbone of a donkey. That's a pretty powerful God. The prophet speaking, declaring, proclaiming. The prophecy of Jesus breaking in. Jesus, the Messiah. Jesus bringing the future age into the presence. Jesus who has authority over sin, death, sickness, nature, demons, hunger, you name it. He's the king. He's the boss. And he says, I put that same spirit in you. He says to the disciples in Matthew 10, now go. Drive out demons. Heal the sick. Raise the dead. Do more than I could do. It says, as you go, proclaim this message. The kingdom of God has come near. Heal the sick. Raise the dead. Cleanse those who have leprosy. Drive out demons. Freely you have received. Freely give. And we begin to see heaven breaking in. When we take him on his word and we say, God, you are king. Here's the challenge. And this is where I'm going to land. We can't live in selective obedience. Yeah, Mark, I've sat with guys. I don't like messy church. Worship, three songs, two big ones, one small one. Tithes and offerings, then we get to the real stuff, the preach. See, the problem is when we can't live with messy church, we can't live with a messy God. Jesus never does the same thing twice. Spits in one guy's eyes, speaks to the other, makes the one guy wait. It comes. He never does the same thing twice because he's powerful. When you are powerful, you don't have to follow formula. You don't have to say the same things the same way. You are free. He's powerful. And we get scared when we think of power and the church. Somehow the two don't gel. No, the church is called to be powerful. See, John Stott says, before Christ sent the church into the world, he sent his spirit into the church. He says, the same order must be observed today. Because when the spirit of God inside of us, the life of God inside of us, and we change atmospheres, you and me. Oh, Mark, I'm just a teacher. Yes, you're a daughter of God who happens to spend time as a teacher. I'm just a businessman sitting in boardrooms. Change the atmosphere. I sat in boardrooms for years. Half the people I worked with were earning huge salaries and they were depressed. I went to these times where you go away for a week and the team's going to find themselves and they bring in these facilitators. And they brought in, what's that guy's name? The guitarist in Durban? The young guy. The other one. Guy Buttrey. And they just jammed. And people, they were just jamming. People had to write down their poems. So they'd flip, okay, cool. And God, I had a moment in God. So we write down our thing, and then the guy catches me completely off guard because they pulled in a guy from Glenridge. He says, hey, Mark, I've heard you can sing because he's at church all the time. He says, why don't you sing your poem for us? So I'm like, oh, I've just been hoodwinked. Yeah, just been hoodwinked. Sitting with all my work colleagues. I begin to sing. People begin to weep. One lady broke down in a work thing because of God. Not because of me, because of God. A Muslim lady began to cry. I don't know what God does and how he does it. I just know he does it with sons and daughters who say, God, my mind, the gates of my mind are open to the King of Glory coming in. That your kingdom won't just be neatly packaged all the time. It's going to be a little bit messy sometimes. It's going to call me to reach out, but it'll come in power. It'll come in might, and it will lead me to spaciousness. And it'll take those who come with me into spaciousness. This is the kingdom of God life. This is the kingdom life. It is awesome. The problem is the church without power is just a very bad excuse for a social club. We got nothing else to do. We don't have DSTV to watch Carte Blanche on the Sunday night, so we come to church. Without the Spirit of God, without the power reality that God calls us to, we are wasting our time. Lives won't get changed, and I know that's not the truth here. I've seen too many testimonies. I've heard too many amazing testimonies in my 2 months here to know that God is living, alive, and active. He's breaking down the barriers of racism. He's breaking down the barriers, the smallness that God would, that the enemy would place in our society. He's breaking down classism. He's breaking down all this stuff so he can raise people up and he can reveal his glory through his sons and daughters. And he wants to start in his church, and he needs to break the walls down, that the walls come down, that the Spirit of God can flood his church with power and life and freedom. And we all stand equal before the living God. And he says, I'm going to raise you up. As Ephesians tells us, I'm going to lift you up as a temple for my glory, that all may see and know his glory. This is the promise. That's why we worship together. That's why we don't just buy Hillsong CDs and sit at home on our own. Because you can't be raised up together when you're on your own. Come, me and me. It doesn't work. The kingdom of God is like a treasure hidden in a field. If someone found and hid, then in his joy he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. The kingdom of God, heaven, is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. On finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. The kingdom of God will demand this word of you all. I can't soften the blow. That's what the Bible says. But the life, the spaciousness, the mysteries and the power for freedom are on the other side. And he says, do you want it? Well, then make a decision. See, I can pray for you. And you might feel, Jesus just says, make a decision. Follow me. It's simple. Can I pray for us? Just stay where you are. Just, the presence of God is here. The kingdom of God is here. The Holy Spirit is here. He's always here. He doesn't leave. I love the bride of Christ too much. And I love what God has done and is doing and will do with life changes too much to settle for comfortable Christianity. Where we talk about God, but we don't know Him. Where we talk about what he can do and we tell stories of what he did 200 years ago, but we don't ask him to do it again today. The spirit of testimony is do it again, God. Our story is one of barrenness to life. I say, God, do it again and do it again and do it again. In businesses, barrenness to life. In having children, barrenness to life. Say, God, do it again. What you did in the early church, and you filled your men and women with fire. And a wimp, a coward, goes out and he preaches and 3,000 get saved. His name was Peter. Do it again, God. Take the wimp in me and pour your spirit into that wimp, I pray, God. We worship an amazing King. And he loves you. And he came down to earth to die for you, that you might live a powerful life. Shake off victim mentalities. Shake off orphan spirits right now. Orphan spirits, come off. Victim mentality, come off. Right now, identity be sealed. Daughters, identity be sealed. Sons, identity be sealed. For a powerful life. We worship you, God. We worship you, King. Just even now. Just if you're feeling some of you, if you know the presence of God is on you, Spirit of God is on you. Why don't you just show me your hand? Why don't you just wave? Why don't you just stand up if that's cool? All eyes are, it doesn't matter if your eyes are closed or open. Stand up. Stand up, Aaron. I watched you in the prayer meeting. I watched you dance earlier. You have a very, very beautiful spirit on your life. You have a freedom-bringing spirit. You do. You know God. We need young people who know God. And you'll bring old and young to freedom. Because of the spirit that is inside of you, that is Jesus. There's the Holy Spirit. Just of you standing, won't you just receive right now, I pray, Spirit of God. You're beautiful, you're amazing, you reveal the Father. I pray, fill your sons and daughters with power, with authority to declare and proclaim. I pray of this young lady now, authority, God, way beyond her years. Authority way beyond the years, that she would declare freedom into the broken and the lost right now. Freedom, God. I pray courage to a soft-spoken daughter, God. Courage to a soft-spoken daughter, that you would fill her with a fire that cannot be contained, God. I thank you, God, that you take the soft-spoken and you fill them with love and a passion and a compassion. And you let them burn for your glory, God. Let your daughter burn, God. Thank you, God. Power, God. Power, God. Power, God. We will not settle, King. We will not settle. Don, you're going to see visions. You have access to people's homes every day. It's not a mistake. You've got to start asking questions of God. Saying, God, why this home today? You're going to walk into homes and you're going to change the atmosphere. Pray, open his thinking even, God. Just where the mysteries of heaven is just too much. I pray, God, strip off small thinking. Strip off just limitations. Strip them off your son now. Open his eyes to see. That when he looks into eyes, he wouldn't see blue eyes. He would see pain. He would see brokenness. He would see what's happened behind. And he would speak your word of life. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Power, God. Kingdom of God is a power. Reality, God. Thank you, King. Freedom songs, God. Thank you that these young people here are signs and symbols to a world. They will sing songs of freedom and chains will be ripped, 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 ripped off, God. Songs of freedom. Now, God. Not so this church may be known, God, as a good worshiping house, but that freedom could come. Keep them free of fame. Keep them free. Keep them free in your love. Keep them free, God. The innocence of youth free, God, to declare, proclaim, and break open. Atmosphere changes. Nation changes. Glory bringers. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. This is for all of us. Can we stand together? Is that right? Just we're not gonna worship. Gabe's just gonna play for us. I really love Jesus. I really love Jesus. I'm. Can I be honest? Sometimes I'm uncomfortable with mess. Me. And God placed that guy into a church called Glenridge. That was comfortable with mess. and it messed with my head a little bit. But I can tell you now, I'm a lot more comfortable with mess. Because you know what mess brings? It brings the broken into freedom. Because broken people are in a mess. So they feel comfortable with a little bit of mess, and God breaks in that place. God is shifting us. God is saying, I'm calling you, Life Changes Church, to take higher ground. And I know we've pushed in worship tonight, and we've pushed ease in our preach. But I'm just going to pray for all of us. I'm going to say, God, use us. You know how this starts? It starts like Peter and John walking down the street, seeing a broken man, reaching out their hand and extending themselves. Extend yourselves this week. Like Anton Breslau jumped up and extended himself and beast held him. Extend yourself and allow God to hold you. He loves you. God, I thank you for your bride. She is beautiful. Thank you that you are more committed to your church than anyone. I thank you that you didn't just fill your church once and said hunger and thirst for the next 1,000, 2,000, 5,000 years. You keep filling. You keep pouring in. Power, life, spaciousness, you do it all. When men and women bow their knee to your glory and say, your kingdom come, God. Thank you that you are lifting the ceilings even now of lives. Some minds and some thinking has been challenged tonight. That's good. Some are asking questions. That's good. Take your questions to God. Take your questions to His Word. And allow the kingdom of God to break in. I thank you for every person here, God. Protect them, guard them, lead them, show them the spaciousness. And let them live a powerful life, God. Thank you, God.